Yankees Files Podcast. We are back. Episode 1 of Season 3. I'm Will Harris, you're Alec Whipple, and the rest of you have put the 2022 Major League Baseball season behind you, and, you know, presumably the Phillies won the World Series. I saw that they were doing pretty well early on. So, I think it's time to just move on to 2023. Like, congratulations to Aaron Nola and Bryce Harper and the boys on their championship. And, you know, now a lot of stuff is changing. Aaron Judge is a free agent. He did not just sign with the Texas Rangers for 8 years, $280 million. My sister was tricked by a tweet and called me and told me that that's what had happened. She was wrong. It was a tweet from someone who's like simulating the offseason in MLB The Show. So if any of you out there think that that has happened, it has not happened, because Aaron Judge is going to sign with the Yankees. But anyway, Whipple, I know it's a busy time for you. You're preparing for finals. You're in law school. I don't know, people who listen to the podcast may not know that you're in law school. You know, I think it kind of flies under the radar.
Many people are talking about it. Many are saying JD candidate Alec Whipple is also a podcaster.
You're hearing it more and more.
You are hearing it more and more. Yeah, it's been nice to have some time to focus on school, even though I'd rather be watching baseball. And as you said, unfortunately, games 4 through 6 of the World Series, I think, met the fate of the 2004 ALCS games 4 through 7, just canceled, which is unfortunate. We would have liked to have seen a full season be played, but there's always hope for 2023, and we do know that we're getting a full off season, which is actually really exciting. I guess I hadn't even thought about it until just looking at the what's to come in baseball. We got winter meetings in a few weeks. There's the non-tender deadlines that just went by, the Rule 5 draft, just the boring monotony of hot stove baseball. And I think after COVID and after the lockout, a lot of us, myself included, are just really happy to have a normal winter. Unfortunately, a normal winter means that not a lot has happened transaction-wise, but I think we all have appreciated the weeks to catch our breath and get set to look at 2023. But it also means that, well, the Yankees have made moves, but the large majority of their moves haven't been made. So we get to talk about that and speculate on what will happen. But there's a lot of enticing free agents out there. There's guys on the trade market. The hot stove landscape is pretty much untouched. And unlike last year, transactions will occur between November 30th and March 10th, which was not the case. So excited to talk about it today and for the next few months of baseball. As your sister's, the person who tricked her by the tweet, simulating on MLB The Show, I feel like all of us have done that at some point, or used, you know, out of the park baseball or MLB front office manager. The games are fun, but there's definitely an allure and an excitement about playing the GM, especially when we all know that we all know, each and every one of us know the right moves to be made. Just a matter of Brian Cashman exactly. Getting to know what those moves are.
Exactly. So let's talk about what's transpired so far. The most notable move is the Yankees brought Anthony Rizzo back on a 2-year deal with an option for a third. They, to this point, have lost the following players to free agency. Those are Zach Britton, Marwin Gonzalez, Aroldis Chapman, Matt Carpenter, Aaron Judge, Jameson Taillon, Miguel Castro, Andrew Benintendi, and Chad Green. There's certainly one player on that list who I think we all expect will be back. But, you know, this team...
Castro in the 2023 bullpen?
Oh, I was talking about Marwin Gonzalez. I don't know how you build a team without that guy.
He was so versatile.
So, you know, those have all happened. Luis Severino, the Yankees had a club option on him that they exercised. They extended contracts to Lou Trevino, whose name is remarkably similar to that of Luis Severino, and Isaiah Kiner-Falefa. I know there was some, consternation about that. They claim Junior Fernandez, relief pitcher off waivers from the Pirates. They added Randy Vasquez, Jimmy Cordero, Matt Crook, and Johnny Brito to the major league roster to protect them in the Rule 5 draft. And they lost Steven Ridings on waivers to the Mets. I'll miss our big science teaching boy. Any of those moves or non-moves to this point stick out to you?
I mean, I think Rizzo is the big one, and it was one that I think most people expected, but I don't know. You know, there was the talk of the Astros potentially being a suitor, and yep, the timing of that definitely made it seem like, you know, it was leaked to force the Yankees or was one of the sides into leverage. So thankfully that didn't happen. I think that would have been a catastrophic result. But having Rizzo back is really important. In our offseason entrance survey that will be released probably around the time that you are listening to this, I noted that it's really important for the Yankees to improve their offense, but also improve their offense with the kind of player that honestly Anthony Rizzo is, left-handed bat specifically, but also just a guy like a solid hitter who's going to take advantage of the short porch. He's going to work the count. He's going to, you know, take his walks. With the addition of or the subtraction of the shift next year, that could also help him get more hits, which, you know, I don't think it would be, he wouldn't be a 300 hitter, but an Anthony Rizzo hitting maybe 240 or 250 instead of 220 is just, you know, icing on the cake. I think even if he wasn't getting more hits, just what he brings to the Yankees, just a great glove and a solid middle of the line at bat, great clubhouse presence. I mean, it's just a great contract. Both sides worked out for both sides, and, you know, maybe the Yankees overpaid by a little, but I don't really think it matters at the end of the day. So far, so good in the offseason. I don't know if any of the other moves really stand out, but the Rizzo move is, you know, it's nothing that's going to shake up the team, but it's the Yankees are getting back a player that made them better in 2022 and will make them better in 2023 and 2024. And, you know, that's, you could start your offseason in worse ways.
Certainly. And, you know, it's good to have him back. The first base market is not, you know, it doesn't really impress you this year, I wouldn't say. You know, Trey Mancini is a very good player. I don't think he's as good as Anthony Rizzo. Jose Abreu is out there. I don't know if I see him leaving the White Sox. And also, you know, he's not a young guy, and I like having a lefty who's just going to hit a bunch of fly balls at Yankee Stadium manning that position. Even though advanced metrics don't love Anthony Rizzo's defense, he's, you know, still better than Abreu there. I think, you know, outside of making a huge splash in a trade for, you know, someone who realistically really wasn't available, I think that getting Rizzo was really good. And I don't think we should underestimate how impactful that could be as we think about them pursuing Aaron Judge. We know Aaron Judge and Rizzo are good friends. We know that Judge, it seems, was, you know, at least to an extent, kind of doing what you speculated he might do, which was making his return to the Yankees contingent on them, you know, making some upgrades. And while Rizzo is not an upgrade over Rizzo, Rizzo is an upgrade over what they'd have if they didn't bring him back.
Yeah, I mean, usually I'm not someone to say X player needs a friend on the team. But I think in this case, they're definitely...
But you know who does?
I mean, I think in this case, we're not talking about players from Asia, and thus it's a little less racist at Michael K. But in this case...
I'm sorry, I'm leaving this in.
Okay.
We might need to clarify that one for the listening
okay,
audience.
Okay, I'm sorry.
So this was... Michael Kay said that it was good that the Yankees got Ichiro so Kuroda would have a friend.
Yeah, didn't he say... I thought he said Kayagawa, too. Or was that... maybe it was Ichiro.
I thought it was Kuroda and Ichiro. It could be Igawa.
I feel like he said it a few times, but...
Anyway. It definitely was not uncommon. Anyway.
Back to 2022 baseball. It does seem like Judge and Rizzo are incredibly close. I know Hoodie Frazier has chronicled their bromance in a lot of tweets that I enjoy seeing and videos I enjoy watching. But the evidence is there. Like, their families are close. And that stuff matters. I mean, we already have seen, like, Judge seems to like New York, but Rizzo seems to love New York as well. And, you know, he's probably a salesman right now the minute he re-signed. And the public comments don't indicate that because no one's ever going to reveal their hand. But you have to think behind the scenes that, you know, it doesn't hurt. And I have to think it helps Judge's calculus about whether to come back because, you know, as we're going to talk about, that is going to be, you know, the A, B, C, D, and E story until he signs. So every move the Yankees make will probably be viewed through the lens of how does this affect their chances to get Aaron Judge back. And this one is definitely no different.
Yeah. So, I mean, what we're going to end up doing on the rest of the podcast is we're going to go position by position through the team and talk about whether we think any moves will be made, whether we'd like any moves to be made, and who we think will be starting on opening day at that spot. And I think it makes sense for us to just start in right field. This is the elephant in the room. I have said that I will not watch another game that this team plays if they fail to bring back Aaron Judge. I stand by that. With that said, I'm extremely confident, supremely confident, that Aaron Judge will be starting on opening day in right field for the New York Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, this is the obvious pick, and sometimes the obvious pick is the one you should just make. I think in pretty much every prediction, every rumor, we've seen the Yankees connected to the Judge. The public comments indicate that. You know, they're talking about Judge in a way they talk about the guys they really want to re-sign, and he is just everything to this team. I mean, we've said it enough times on this podcast. We don't have to say it again. The Yankees in 2023 without Aaron Judge are just simply not the team that they would be with Aaron Judge. They're far, 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 you know, too reliant on him not to bring him back. And they have to pony up for it. Then, you know, they know that, and they most likely will.
Yeah, something that I've been reflecting on is your comment that when the Yankees are very public about wanting to get a guy, whether it's wanting to re-sign someone or whether it's, you know, that Gerrit Cole is the guy that they're going to go after this offseason or whatever it is, it tends to be a reflection of extreme confidence that that deal is as good as done. And I don't think that they would be making the kind of comments that they've made about Aaron Judge if not for their confidence that they would be able to bring him back. And frankly, I don't know that Aaron Judge would be talking the way he's been talking if he weren't pretty confident he were coming back.
Yeah, it's funny because I feel like if you didn't know Aaron Judge wasn't a free agent, if like nobody in the world knew that he was a free agent, I feel like you wouldn't think it because he's been in New York. He's doing events in New York. The Yankees are talking about him like he's going to be on the team next year to some extent. Like, it's almost weird to me how confident they are, which I'll take as a good thing. And, you know, we need to see the writing, you know, the contract signed before we slot him into the opening day lineup. But it doesn't feel like a real free agency like that we've seen before. And he's going to get paid. I mean, there are certainly negotiations. It's not taking any kind of discount. But yeah, I think the rumor mill is largely quiet in terms of, you know, you'll get the occasional Dodgers Giants rumor, but you know, that's, it's all strategic. I think most teams probably have some idea of, you know, the relationship that they'd be trying to break into and the cost that would take and probably the futility of it. And I mean, I'd imagine he's going to meet with other teams. Like Brian Cashman said, he's earned the right to do this. Right. This is his chance to do this. Like, let him do whatever he wants. But at the end of the day, I think he and the Yankees know that they're going to pay him whatever it takes.
Yeah, I think that's clear. I'm going over my notes on other players I think will end up on the Yankees this offseason, and I may have to amend my statement and say that Aaron Judge is going to be starting in center field, but we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
Intriguing.
So Whipple, we've addressed first base. You know, I think the Yankees made the move that we would want them to make. Let's go to second base, which is a position that is getting a lot of buzz because of the confidence that many people have that Gleyber Torres will be traded. I am not sold by any means that Gleyber Torres is, you know, doomed. But how do you see, we might just need to have the entire infield conversation because of the versatility of DJ LeMahieu. How do you see the infield lining up on opening day? And then the more interesting question might be, how do we see the infield lining up on like July 15th? But how do you see it lining up on opening day?
So I am very worried about DJ LeMahieu. I feel like when the season ended, I expected at that press conference to be the full disclosure. Okay, he's been dealing with
this.
He's
actually
like,
very
he's gonna get surgery.
Hurt. Yeah.
Right. Or like, you know, he's going to rehab. And we're now weeks out from that press conference. And every time they talk about DJ LeMahieu, it seems like they know less than the last time they talked about DJ LeMahieu. Yeah. And the fact that they're waiting 6 weeks for rehab, I mean, like, I get people don't want to get surgery, but I feel like this rehab has been, and maybe it'll work. It just seems like they have been taking this strategy for months and it hasn't gotten better. And if there was some confidence that they knew it would get better with rehab, that would be fine. But it doesn't seem like it. It seems like they're waiting and hoping and watching. And I feel like with somebody who was as affected by that as DJ LeMahieu, and you make no mistake, like he was not going to be playing in those playoffs. Like he, the fact that he was, you know, quote unquote, in contention for a playoff spot or he was taking BP or whatever, like it was probably something serious enough, like because we knew he could play. And the fact that they weren't putting him on meant that something was pretty wrong with him. And I don't know if like what's going to happen, if he's going to get surgery, he's going to be out for months. The rehab doesn't work. You know, he gets surgery even later. Like it's just a lot of unknowns with him. So I have a feeling he will not be starting opening day, and hopefully he'll be a factor at some point next year. But that's like kind of, it's annoying to have to say that because he's so important to this team, to this lineup. So at this point, the uncertainty with him has made me kind of back off of the fact that I was pretty sure Gleyber was going to get traded. The other thing about Gleyber, which again makes me less certain, is I feel like the valuation for him on the open market is so wildly different. Like the trade proposals I see and you probably see with him seem so not commensurate with his actual value. I mean, 2 years of a 25 home run hitting second baseman, like who, you know, rebounded from some poor hitting seasons to basically post what he did in 2019. And if he didn't have a terrible August, it would be even better. Not final numbers. Like that's wild to me when you see him in conversations for like a reliever or a back end starter. Yeah. I feel like he's worth more than that on his own. And, you know, maybe I just am not perceiving it correctly or other people aren't. I mean, I don't know. Like, I do feel like Brian Cashman isn't going to just get rid of him for no reason. However, they do have contracts they have to move. And this is the other side of it where, you know, you could attach him and dump some money and make it a little more palatable or get rid of a little more of the contract. I don't think they're going to trade him for nothing, but I could see him as part of like a larger deal. So I really have gone back and forth on this. But I still think he's going to get traded. Unfortunately, I don't see him in the opening day lineup, whatever the move is. There's just too many possibilities out there that make me think that he's not going to be starting for them on opening day.
So let's talk about this. You don't see Gleyber in the opening day lineup. You don't see LeMahieu in the opening day lineup. You do see the Yankees upgrading their offense, but it sounds like you're starting Oswald Peraza at second base on opening day.
So I think going back to the guys they actually have, I don't think they're going to be able to trade Josh Donaldson, nor do I. Yeah, I don't think they'll be able to trade Josh Donaldson. I do think they'll be able to trade Hicks, but that's another, you know, we'll talk about that later. I feel like Donaldson will be out there. And the IKF question is, you know, please do not let him start for sure. But I see Oswaldo Cabrera and either Volpe or Peraza, and probably Peraza being in that opening day lineup. My gut feeling when I've mapped this out, is that, you know, IKF is going to be on this team as a backup player. and Cabrera is going to be probably the DJ LeMahieu. DJ LeMahieu fill in until DJ comes back. Maybe I'm wrong and DJ will be starting, but I think Cabrera is their you know, the backup for him if he can't go. And I think the shortstop job goes to Peraza or maybe Volpe. But yeah, that's so my grand alignment of the infield would be Rizzo, Cabrera, Volpe / Peraza, and Donaldson on opening day, if that all makes sense.
Wow.
That was a lot. Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about this
one
a lot.
So I'm trying to square this with, I guess, you think the Yankees need to get better offensively. You just don't have much confidence that they will then.
Partly that. I also think that if they get an impact bat, it's going to come in the outfield other than Judge.
Interesting. I think that on opening day, the infield is going to have Anthony Rizzo, Gleyber Torres, one of the kids, and DJ LeMahieu. Whether that kid is Volpe, Peraza, or Cabrera, you know, remains to be seen. I think there's a real chance that Cabrera starts in the outfield on opening day. But I understand your perspective that the Yankees aren't going to be able to move Donaldson. I think we need to, at some point, arrive at an admission of guilt about Donaldson. He's been terrible. I know that Boone had to project confidence in him, whatever. What I just keep coming back to with anytime they comment publicly on Donaldson, the, you know, tendering a contract to IKF, all that stuff. You know, we believed on like March 10th that Gio Urshela was going to be the shortstop for the Yankees in 2022. That's what we believed. And we thought Gary Sanchez was going to be one of the two catchers. And instead, IKF was the shortstop, and Jose Trevino went to the All-Star game as a catcher. I'm not convinced that the Yankees will be like incapable of moving Josh Donaldson. And I'm not convinced that he has to play if they can't move him. You know, I think they need to put him on the Jacoby Ellsbury plan, and I still think that's possible. I do think the Yankees...
So just to cut in, sorry, to quickly interject, from the situation I see it is more comparable to is, and I don't disagree they should have a quick hook with him. I think if he's on the team, he starts, but I'm hopeful or thinking he might be on like the Alfonso Soriano plan where they would be quick to, you know, give him a look, and if he's, you know, garbage in like May, they cut him. Mm-hmm. But... largely, I do kind of agree with that. Like, I think talking about when we go on to talk about what we think the lineup might be in like July, I would hope he's not there unless he's like found the fountain of youth.
Yeah. And I mean, let's also say like DJ LeMahieu could be going through something really tough and in, you know, 4.5 months still be ready to play baseball. So I'm pretty confident that he's available on opening day. I think the Yankees have everything they need in house for an infield. I do. I think that, you know, Gleyber Torres is a very good player. I think he's underrated. I think that DJ LeMahieu has what it takes to play well. And I would take middling DJ LeMahieu at third base over whatever Josh Donaldson is now at third base. And the Yankees have three very talented kids who can play shortstop. And, you know, I think they address first base, which was going to be the easiest place to have a major drop-off. And they can kind of handle their stuff outside of that. How do you see the outfield lining up? Who will be in the outfield? I think this is an incredibly difficult question to answer.
So, to start off, as I alluded to before, I am the thing I'm most confident about this winter, maybe even beyond Judge re-signing, because I'm like 99% confident. I'm 100% confident Aaron Hicks is not going to be a Yankee. You know, everything points to him getting traded. You know, the way they handled him, his public comments, the fans hate him, and he's going to get 10-5 rights next year. So this is basically your last chance to trade him. So, I mean, I think he's gone and shouldn't even be in the picture. So, assuming you have Judge and Wright, then Bader and center. I mean, I think maybe you disagree with me, but I feel like the his October cameo plus, you know, what they gave up to get him. And they obviously really like him. And he's been good. I mean, he was good in that month. And, you know, I hope that carries over to a full season. So I think he at least gets to start there. Left field is the wild card. And I feel like getting another outfielder is where this team can upgrade. I'm not convinced that it's Andrew Benintendi, even though the rumor mill is kind of churning with that. In probably a heel turn here. I'm now kind of anti-Benintendi because that risk really scares me. I mean, I watched Mark Teixeira and Aaron Hicks hit enough after the same surgery to not want to do that again with Benintendi. And yeah, maybe his power isn't what theirs is, but I don't know. Like, let some other team figure it out. That maybe if the dollars are low enough, but that's not what I want to see. I feel like this is where they could make a splash. I really do like Brandon Nimmo, but the numbers going for him do seem a little high. But then again, I mean, if the Yankees want to, you know, entice Judge and make a substantial upgrade, like, he could be the guy to give it to. He gets on base at a decent clip. He's, you know, I know you're going to say, well, contact, whatever. And I'm not saying he's a contact guy, but he's, you know, he has about an 800s OPS. He is a mix of power and on-base percentage. Probably not what I'd like to see at that position. I would really like to see a trade for, I mean, honestly, my top trade candidate is Brian Reynolds, because I think the price is probably getting into the range of what the Yankees can offer. And, you know, if you have to give up one of the kids to get him, you absolutely should. Ian Happ is another one. I think that the trade market could yield a little lower cost than maybe a Reynolds, but just something to put a guy in that outfield who can be another legitimate threat. You know, the Shohei Ohtani, that's like the, you know, is that even a possibility? But, he's not a left fielder, but I guess, you know, you could have Stanton play in the outfield and have him DH, but that's not even a possibility.
The last team that would ever be willing to put Shohei Ohtani in the outfield is the Yankees.
True, true. But, you know, he's another one who could be in, like, the outfield DH mix. That never going to happen. Yeah. I feel like Ian Happ is kind of the guy, probably the best combination of realistic, best, you know, the price, that what they give up to get him, what they're looking for. That kind of, like, he is, like, the nexus of that for me. But I want to see a new left fielder, absolutely. And, you know, you alluded to Cabrera in the outfield. I don't think that should be plan A. And, you know, if it's plan B, they're fortunate to have that. But that's kind of where I would go with a big offensive splash.
Yeah. I mean, Hap's an interesting one. He really is a left fielder. You know, he played over 1,200 innings there. Last year, he's played basically 2,200 innings there in his career, which is more than half of his defensive innings. He's incredibly versatile. You know, he's played first, second, third, and everywhere in the outfield. I guess what I'm struggling with the outfield question, as much as I like Happ, as much as I like Reynolds, who would be a true center fielder, is... like, Aaron Judge should not have to play center field again for this team. And a lot of the solutions, you know, all the people who only have signed Benintendi on their list for the offseason, when I agree with you, I wouldn't touch him. The Yankees have been wronged by this hand and wrist stuff enough to know that, like, guys do not come back the same. All the people who... you know, just have signed Benintendi, or even the people who just have signed Nimmo in the offseason plan, like, they probably need to address two outfield positions, assuming Judge is back, unless they're willing to make Cabrera plan A. And I don't know that they should be willing to make Cabrera plan A. I think a lot of Cabrera's value is in his versatility. If you lock Cabrera into left field, or even lock him into right field, like, sure, he's going to be a good defender, but you want him to play short sometimes. You want him to play third sometimes. You might have him at first. Like, I don't want to handcuff what they can do. Like, Oswaldo Cabrera, I think the vision should be, like, an even more versatile version of what they thought 2019 DJ LeMahieu was going to be. As far as Happ and Reynolds, I like them both. You know, Happ is about a year older, or not quite a year older, you know, not a true center fielder. He has never had a 6.1 WAR season, though he was the better player last year. I like it. Hap does have kind of a worrying trend of like wildly outperforming his expected stats. So like at any moment that could all come crashing down. But a guy who walks 11% of the time and has a 114 career WRC plus and can play any position except shortstop and catcher, hard not to be looking there. I'd be super happy if he were starting games in left field.
Be happy.
Exactly. if he were starting left field, starting games in left field for the Yankees this coming season. But again, like if they get Hap, you know, how does the rest of this look? Like, is it Judge in center and Cabrera and Wright? Is it Judge in center and like Everson Pereira?
Well, I mean, you have Bader.
Oh, I forgot that Harrison Bader existed this whole time. I just completely forgot Harrison Bader was a person.
Do you want to redo any of
that? No, I don't. I'm happy to admit that. Okay. It felt like he was a rental. I don't think of him as like really being on the team. But yeah, they do have another year of Harrison Bader. Okay, Ian Happ, there's your offseason.
Woo. Hey, we're rounding back into form. You know, it's the first episode of season 3. By like episode 10, we'll be running back at our usual stamina.
Yeah. Huh. That's funny. Wait, so all the people who want them to get Nimmo and Benintendi, what are they doing with Harrison Bader?
I don't know. Trading him?
I would trade Harrison Bader. Harrison Trader. He's look, his value is never going to be higher. Maybe they could get like a good back of the rotation starter for him. Have you heard of this guy, Jordan Montgomery?
I mean, it is. They probably could get something good for him. But I just really think they like having that defensive center fielder.
And if he keeps like showing some pop, like then
yeah,
he can stay. Okay, so you have a Hap, Bader, Judge outfield.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I still like, I'm still trying to square the thing with you where it's like they need to get better offensively, you know?
I mean, I feel like playing,
I don't know how
kids...
good, like, what is Harrison Bader, like, let's put it this way. The Yankees have gotten almost 200 plate appearances of 111 WRC plus ball from Oswaldo Cabrera already. You're talking about replacing him with a career 114 WRC plus hitter. Harrison Bader is projected to have what? Like a very average, yeah, 105 WRC plus next year. So, and he's going to be super valuable because he's going to play phenomenal center field defense. But like you're saying this team needs to get better. And then you're putting a 105 WRC plus in center field, a 114 WRC plus in left field, Josh Donaldson and two kids in the middle of the infield. Like, I guess my question is, like, did the team get better if they do what you've prescribed?
Well, I mean, that's the tough thing because I'm trying to be realistic here. I mean, in my fantasy offseason, Josh Donaldson's gone. Like, gone. Like, not even, you know, he would have been gone yesterday. But,
yep.
Trying to be realistic and balancing it with what I want is definitely, you know, finding that middle ground. In my opinion, playing the kids and in the infield is definitely an upgrade over, you know, IKF. And that's the thing, you know, I have a tough time squaring away with trading Glaber, why I kind of had a second thought on it. But I mean, like I said, I don't know if DJ LeMahieu is going to be in the opening day lineup. And I feel like they have a good backup with Cabrera. But if DJ LeMahieu gets healthy, you know, that's, you know, you're back to the 2022 beginning of the season offense, you're subbing out IKF for one of the kids, which I think makes your infield better. And, you know, hopefully if Donaldson is a bust, then, you know, you drop him and you start playing Cabrera at third base. Like, I think having all those infielders, like you said, allows them to do a lot of things in-house there that, and I think they should be aggressive in deploying Volpe, Peraza, and Cabrera to fill those holes, because I think that makes them better than last year when, you know, you're playing IKF, you're relying on Donaldson, you're having Marwin Gonzalez sub in for games. And in the outfield, you know, getting rid of Hicks and replacing him with Happ is an upgrade, in my opinion. And
that's true.
You know, I think having a full season of Bader, honestly, that might be the biggest wild card, because I feel like expectations for him might be a little too high.
They definitely are.
Right. So you're going to have to. So like the outfield for most of the, you know, last year or the beginning of last year was you had, you know, Hicks, Judge and Gallo. And yeah. I feel like Bader and Happ versus what Hicks and Gallo were doing were better. You know, I know you had Cabrera and Bader playing in October. So it's just, you know, it's all over the board, but I just feel confident trying to get rid of guys like IKF and Hicks and, you know, having them and hopefully Donaldson and plugging in, relies on the kids playing well, but bringing in a guy like Happ, maybe there's another hitter to be had. But I also think that, you know, just having Happ or guys like him is just how you're going to improve the offense. So I don't know. It's like a lot of unknowns. A lot relies on the kids. Yeah, a lot relies on Volpe and Peraza. But Hal Steinbrenner said last year that they, you know, these were the guys they were looking at. So it seems like they're going to ride or die with them. I mean, what are your thoughts on improving? Like, what's your alignment and where, you know, what do you see that it compared to last year?
I mean, I just think that whether they do it with a transaction or not, the Yankees don't have to play Josh Donaldson. And I guess it's a massive assumption that they would actually be willing to do that. But like mm-hmm. with the infielders currently on the roster, I think you have an opportunity to just play Gleyber, Peraza or Cabrera and DJ or Cabrera and be better. Because like IKF and JD aren't in the lineup at that point, and that's great. I want to get back to the left field thing. Two names that I'm looking at that I want to get your thoughts on are Cody Bellinger, who was non-tendered by the Dodgers, and I saw someone, it might have been Mike Axisa on Twitter, make a good point that if you as an idiot baseball fan think there's like untapped potential in a guy or that you can recapture what a guy used to be, and the Los Angeles Dodgers, the smartest organization in baseball, disagree, then, you know, you might be wrong. I think part of that is the Dodgers were going to go to arbitration with him and he was going to get a lot of money. So, you know, that's an extra consideration. But Cody Bellinger is one name I'm looking at. And the hit manager, Mitch Haniger, is another.
Yeah. So just for Bellinger, I absolutely agree. I think that he was going to make $18 million in arbitration. And maybe the Dodgers see something that, you know, they want to stay away from. I mean, he absolutely hasn't played well, but I think the money was definitely an overwhelming factor. I don't really want the Yankees to be in on a reclamation project like that. I don't know. I feel like that's something that, you know, they try to do sometimes and burns them. I mean, sometimes it works. Like you saw Matt Carpenter this year, but I feel like signing Bellinger is just like you'd be putting him into a starting spot and probably giving him more rope. Like Matt Carpenter, nobody expected anything of him. So I feel like we were, you know, able to work it up his playing time as he deserved it. So I don't know if I'd be in on Bellinger. I feel like Haniger is definitely somebody that I would be interested in. I know his numbers weren't as good this year, but like, for the love of God, he had 30.
I mean, he's
39 home runs last year, and the ball, you know, the ball wasn't a juice ball necessarily last year. So I feel like, you know, he's hit well enough recently. I mean, before last year, before 2022, he had a pretty solid offensive track record. He's not really somebody I'd thought about until you just said it, but combined with like his good defense, and again, if the Yankees could get a 39 home run bat on the contract that he's likely to get, like that's a pretty good steal for them. Definitely somebody I would be interested in, for sure.
I just like that if the Yankees got him, I would be able to call him the hit manager all year.
That is you have said that. That is your thing. So just like the Rizzone.
Exactly.
We can give you another.
The Rizzone, I feel like I actually made up. The hit manager I like came across somehow. I think there was like some local journalist in Seattle who wouldn't stop saying it, but it wasn't catching on, which is my favorite kind of bit. So
are you going to do a thread of every single hit that he gets?
Every single time he manages to get a hit?
I mean, I feel like you have to.
I think I probably, I would do, it would be harder because I'd have to get all the videos. I couldn't do it in real time because, like, nobody would be,
so,
like, you know, anyway.
Right. My quick question about Haniger. So you're more of the Mitch Haniger expert. Is it Haniger or Haniger?
Haniger.
Okay, because I just said Haniger. And
well, he's the hit manager. Said,
I know. It's still the offseason. Is he? I thought he was a good defensive player, but looking at his defensive war, it doesn't necessarily seem like that's the case. I don't know. Like, what do you think about defensively?
I mean, outs above average doesn't like him. So if you look at the Fangraphs, like defensive runs, or his like Baseball Savant percentile chart, it doesn't like him very much. I don't really know how he is as a DRS guy, but frankly, as you know, I care a lot more about offense than defense, and the Yankees are a team that, you know, is known to run out like Giancarlo Stanton in the outfield in 2022. So I don't know, like, how worried it makes sense for us to be. He has in the past been like a fine, in fact, like his left field track record in not a ton of innings is like reasonably good.
It seems like not a ton of innings though.
DRS really likes him as a right fielder. That can be made up of like a ton of different components, whether it's that his arm, you know, used to be pretty good, now isn't so good, or like, you know, DRS is always giving people credit for range and his range has historically been pretty good. Yeah, I mean, he's like an adequate outfield defender. It's not like you're putting, you know, Marwin Gonzalez or like Jay Bruce out there. Like I'd be fine having him out there. So that's another area where Bellinger would be really good, but I completely understand the perspective of like, you, if you're going to take on a reclamation project, especially one that you might have to give like $13 million a year, you would want it to, you'd want a lot of things to be different.
So yeah. And I feel like I'd rather go with Haniger. I mean, he was injured last year, so yeah. I'd rather, you know, I'd rather take my chances on the guy who, when healthy, is usually hit pretty well. So one other interesting question, actually, looking that Haniger has mostly played in right field, what do you think about the chances of Aaron Judge, left fielder, ever coming into play? And before it sounds crazy, but center field also sounded crazy, and he was able to do that, not as an everyday thing, but do you think that's ever a possibility in any of these alignments?
I mean, they've never even entertained it, which I feel like has to mean something. But like, because even with the center field thing, like, didn't he play like one game in center field in Toronto in 2018 or something? Like, we knew that they knew he could do it. Left field.
And I think his only experience with left field is like all in the minors in like a 7-game span in like 2016.
Yeah,
or something.
It's not something that, like, to your point, organizationally, they've ever even considered. And, you know, that has tended to be the case, like, for how they treat a lot of guys. Like, the Oswaldo Cabrera thing was not just so novel because of how many positions he was playing and how well he was playing them. Like, that was just not a way we saw the Yankees use guys. Guys, you know, they tend to have very defined roles for people. I would say that if the Yankees were trying to address left field, even though it would not be optimal, it's more likely that we see Bader in left with Judge in center than Judge in left, Bader in center, and someone else in right. Like, I don't know. Just even, again, even if it's not optimal, like, I don't know that they would take Aaron Judge, their star player, captain, and reigning MVP, out of right field so Mitch Haniger could play there. You know, like, doesn't that just kind of sound like something they wouldn't do?
Right. No, it doesn't. And I mean, I wanted you to entertain it, but I also, I think if anyone's learning a new position, Right. He could do it. But I think if anyone was learning a new position, you know, it might be like try Bader and left or Hannah.
Yeah.
Or trying to do left. It wouldn't be Judge. Like if he's coming back, like he's got the keys to the kingdom. Like he could play where he wants. I don't think he's learning.
Aaron
a new
Judge
position.
Is going to make himself the shortstop the first time IKF underthrows on a routine ground ball. And we're going to find out that he's like the greatest shortstop of all time. And then O'Neill Cruz isn't going to be the tallest shortstop ever anymore. It's going to be all, it's going to set all kinds of things in motion.
So much to look forward to in 2023.
Exactly. One name, and I mean, this is not going to be the first. Well, actually, you know what? That's true. This has not been the first time that we're discussing this offseason. It won't be the last time. One name that I think should come up, though, is Masataka Yoshida. So, outfielder on the Oryx Buffaloes. From what I can tell, I haven't found any good game log data. Corner outfielder. And, like, phenomenally good hitter. Has, at times, even with a ton of power, walked more than he's struck out. But even when he hasn't, it's like a, you know, 12% walk rate and 14% strikeout rate with really good power, really good on base. He has been posted. So, you know, that comes with great expense because, you know, there's the posting fee and then there's the contract. It sounds like he would get slightly more money than Seiya Suzuki. Seiya Suzuki got, what was it? 5 years, $85 million, which is $17 million a year, which is a lot for a foreign player. And, you know, when healthy, he had a good season. I don't know that he had a $17 million season. I don't know how much you've looked into Yoshida. I'm interested. Posting fees obviously don't count towards the luxury tax or anything, but we know the Yankees are a little bit averse to spending money. You know, if you're talking about something in the neighborhood of 4 years, $80 million or something, like they might just be happier spending that money on Brandon Nimmo. I'm interested if you have any perspective on Yoshida.
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like the Yankees don't play in the non-generational Japanese superstar market. Like, after Egawa, which probably spooked them, you know, given that he sucked. Kei Egawa mentions two times on this podcast.
That's a record.
What is going on?
That's a record.
It is. But yeah, I mean, he was terrible, and the only guys they've been seriously considered were you know, Masahiro Tanaka and Shohei Ohtani, which are probably two of the three best guys to come from Japan since then, counting Yu Darvish as well. So I'm not like really convinced that the Yankees are going to, you know, want to go there to look at him. But they've been connected to him, and I haven't looked too much into it, but you could do a lot worse. But I also think the Yankees are, given their how risk averse they are in that area, like I wish they had been a little more serious on Suzuki. I know it was a high price, but like those guys are you know, it fits their needs, and they come over and hit well. So like I don't know why I'm like not as, you know, excited about Yoshida or in on him, but I just feel like the Yankees aren't going to pursue, like I just don't see them going after a player like that, just given their history, and maybe I've already kind of like written them off. Even though, yeah, like by all accounts they should.
Yeah, I share your belief that, or your feeling that, like, even though he is a very disciplined, high average, left-handed power bat, it just doesn't feel like they're gonna pursue him. Like, I don't know. That's just all there is to it. Like, I don't get the feeling that that's where they'd make that move. But, I mean, what we can say is, with the exception of Mitch Haniger and Cody Bellinger and Brandon Nimmo, if they would sign Brandon Nimmo to play left field, which kind of feels like a waste, the guys we're talking about as, you know, people who could be that final outfielder for them are all trade targets. If they would rather give up money than prospects after the prospects that they, you know, dealt to get Frankie Montas and, you know, all the other guys that they've traded for in the last 2 years, I could see them like you can convince yourself that they'd say, oh, you know, it's just money.
But I feel like we've been saying that for like years about how they should operate. They apparently don't agree. Like 100%, yeah. I agree with you. I don't know. I if that was like the way they operated, I just feel like this team would be different. But I don't know.
Yeah. No, you're right. I think you're right. It's weird. I'm struggling to separate like what I think makes sense and what I might do from, you know, how the Yankees actually show us that they run the team. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'll throw a Haniger, Bader, Judge outfield out there. Stanton at DH, Trevino, and either Rortvedt or, you know, someone similarly unimpressive. Yeah. At catcher.
We didn't even talk about catcher. That's such a big topic last year, but I feel like everyone's kind of like ready for Trevino. And, you know,
yeah,
I don't know if I'm so happy about that. Like, I think ideally you trade for like a Sean Murphy or sign a Wilson Contreras and have
cool.
Trevino as a backup. Like, that is something that could happen. And I feel like would make this team better offensively. Like,
it would.
We haven't talked about it, but like definitely out there. And
now,
I don't think
they,
that's a slight on Trevino. I mean, he'd still be valuable.
If they wanted Wilson Contreras, they could have just kept Gary Sanchez. Also, Gary Sanchez is free agent.
I don't think that's happening. I'm sorry.
Look, all I'm saying is if I could potentially orchestrate a reunion with the guy who had like the best start to a career for any catcher ever, it's the kind of thing I'd look into.
I think the Orioles need to sign him, and even though they have Adley Rutschman, just so you can get to spend some time with Gary. That's my ideal winter for you personally.
I think I'd become his friend.
I mean, you basically have built your identity around him, so I'd hope so.
Yeah, I'd like show him that article I wrote about him, and he'd like cry tears of joy, and then we'd just bond.
Yep. No comment.
Okay. I kind of thought you'd be more supportive of that, but anyway.
I am. No, I'm supportive. It was a beautiful sentiment, and I didn't have anything to add to it.
Thank you. Yeah, I do feel like, you know, the Yankees had a certain type of catcher that they were pursuing. It's the reason that they were so happy to give so much time to Kyle Higashioka in the last couple years. Jose Trevino had a surprisingly good offensive season that came back down to earth at the end of it, but they would have been happy for him to be an 85 WRC plus guy anyway, given the quality of defense that he played and how well he managed the pitching staff. And I don't expect any major move to be made there in spite of the potential availability of Sean Murphy, in spite of the free agency of Wilson Contreras. What I will say is if you want to be excited about something at the catcher position, you should be excited about the progress of Austin Wells through the minors and the potential that the Yankees would see the catcher position as the area where they could get his bat up to the major league level. You know, it's a position with a lot of like natural rest. And if they're willing to take the defensive hit, in order to assess the kind of offensive player they have in Wells at the major league level and assess, you know, how equipped he is to catch at the major league level, I think that would be like the exciting thing that we might get to watch at catcher this year. Outside of that, I don't really see a major move being made, but it would be nice given how much Kyle Higashioka and like Rob Brantley we've been spoon fed these last few years to get some excitement out of that position. And within the org, Wells is the guy who could offer that.
Yeah, I could see in like 2024, we have Wells as like backup catcher / like first base caddy. Kind of.
Yeah.
Because like he can do both. And, you know, maybe he does play first base long term. I kind of hope it is catcher because like I kind of you don't appreciate the bat first catchers until you don't have one. Although Jose Trevino won.
Maybe
platinum.
You don't.
Okay, I don't. But Jose Trevino won the Platinum Glove. Like, he was literally the best fielder in the whole league. So, like,
yeah,
they, you know, this is not what it was last year when, like, or for that week last year when we thought, a few weeks when we thought Kyle Higashioka was going to be the main starter. Jose Trevino does add something, and he's just a fun guy to root for. Like, I'm not upset about him playing the bulk of the minutes, especially with how well the pitching does with him behind the plate.
No, I love Jose Trevino. I think he's a phenomenal player. I think he's a ton of fun to root for. I love that he showed up to his kid's career day in like kindergarten in full, not only full uniform, but full catcher's gear. He had a number of great moments this year. He was an all-star. He won the platinum glove. He, you know, made a number of great plays. I'm perfectly happy for Jose Trevino to start at catcher the majority of the games for the Yankees next year. I hope that Jose Trevino is a Yankee for a long time. Like, I want to make that clear.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I have always had an affinity for catchers who hit, and Wells is like the guy in the org who gets me excited about the potential that I see that kind of player soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Definitely looking forward to seeing him, because I guess one thing, you know, the Yankees have traded a lot of prospects, as we've said, but they've kept that top echelon of the prospect chart intact, and Wells is there, and they really believe in those guys. Like, Volpe, Peraza, Dominguez, Wells all are going to be on this team at some point. I'm like pretty convinced. Maybe Dominguez is a little farther off, but I just feel like they have held on to them, and you know, they are showing that they want them to be players on this team for better or worse. Like, I don't know if it's the best strategy, but we're gonna see them all, and Wells is certainly, you know, gonna be an exciting player to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, the last thing to address is just starting pitchers.
I will say quickly, the amount of time, I would love somebody to like track how much time in this podcast history we've talked about offense versus pitching, because every time I feel like we spend like so long in the offense, so we're like, oh yeah, and the pitching's really good too.
Well, I mean, that's a good thing. Like, these last 2 years have been like the most stable pitching years by any, like, in recent memory, right, from the Yankees. So it's like, oh yeah, mm-hmm, like, you know, Nestor Cortez got what, more Cy Young votes than Gerrit Cole, or at least got Cy Young votes, like
more. Yeah.
The fact that like, that's how good the pitchers have been is amazing. So look, for next year, it lines up currently as Cole, Cortez, Severino, Montas, and a competition for the fifth starter spot, which I think we assume would include Domingo Germán, Clark Schmidt, and, you know, some other guys. I don't know if Davey Garcia can sneak his way into that conversation. Obviously, there are a number of pitchers from the minor leagues. Randy Vasquez sticks out among them that were added to the roster recently. Maybe they're in that competition. Maybe the Yankees make a move. The big fish on the market outside of Verlander and DeGrom, who I don't think either of us think the Yankees will end up acquiring, would be Carlos Rodon. I'd really like Carlos Rodon. He has left-handed Luis Severino vibes to me, which means if he were on the team, he would be one of my favorite players. He would be hurt a lot, but he would be electric when he wasn't hurt. And honestly, like, I'm in.
Yeah, with this pitching staff, you could definitely afford to do that. I definitely want Rodon, like, in the ideal offseason. I'm not sure if the Yankees feel the same way. Like, I think the rotation that you outlined in the fifth starter competition, you know, I could see a guy being brought in to compete for that job. I mean, it's a really good rotation as it stands. But, you know, if you have a guy like Rodon out there, I would pay that. You know, if they were not going to sign a big name free agent who's not Aaron Judge to a contract for offense, I would definitely allocate some money for Rodon. But I also, it's not the end of the world if they just run with this group. I'm really, really, really high on Clark Schmidt being the fifth starter. I think the way he was used in the postseason versus the way Domingo Germán was used, like, as I always say, like, you can kind of tell the Yankees feel about someone by the way they're used, and Schmidt was pitching in high leverage situations for better or worse, and Germán was a long reliever in the bullpen. I don't know if that's a guarantee of anything, but I think it means Schmidt is going to get every opportunity to pitch his way into the rotation, and I just really want that to happen, because I'd like to see what he can do as a starter. It's been long enough, you know, having him in the minors and then sending him up and down, and quite frankly, I don't think anyone really wants to see Domingo Germán. Like, this pitching staff is good enough. Like, why do we need Domingo Germán? That's just what I'm asking. And other than that, like, I know you want to get rid of Montas, but unlike Donaldson, where I think there's a legitimate argument to getting rid of for him or keeping him if you can't get somebody to take his contract. I mean, I think you gave up too much for Montas. Like, you have to pitch him at the beginning next year. And if it's bad, you know, you move on from there. But, like, I just have a hard time believing that he is this bad. And I think injuries played a factor. And I hope that he will be better. And, you know, if he's not better, then c'est la vie. But if he's even a little bit better, you know, he's your fourth starter, you know, or fifth starter. Like, that's still a really good rotation. And as we saw with that top three, I mean, that's a top three that, you know, it matches up against anyone in the league. Having Cortez, Cole, and Severino in whatever order is, you know, that could have, if the offense performed as it should have in October, that could have won them a World Series. I mean, those pitchers were pitching that well. And I'm just really happy that all of them are under contract. I just love those three specifically. Like, I feel like they're just, you know, you got the crafty lefty, you got the hard throwing righty, and then you got Gerrit Cole, who's one of the best pitchers in baseball, and I'll continue to beat the drum for him. So just a lot of things to like with the rotation.
Yeah, definitely. A couple of thoughts on that. I still think that Clark Schmidt might be best utilized as a multi-inning reliever. We know how much the Yankees love that role. Chad Green is gone. I don't think we really have a timeline on Mike King. And like, two Mike Kings is better than one. And what I'll also say is Frankie Montas' Carl Pavano. Well, at the end of every podcast, we always rate our confidence out of 10 in this team.
What about the bullpen?
The bullpen is such a crapshoot, Whipple. They have, you know, all of these guys from Greg Weiser to, you know, Wandy Peralta to Lucas Litke to Clay Holmes to Jonathan Loaisiga. They have a million guys. They just got this guy, Fernandez, from the Pirates. Edwin Diaz was like the impact bullpen arm on the market. And he's already signed with the Mets. If you think the Yankees are going to give, like, here, I'll put it to you this way. Do you think the Yankees are going to trade for or sign a bullpen guy with more than $30 million left on his contract or give him a contract of more than $30 million?
No, because they just got out of those two deals and they wouldn't do that again.
Then I think it's almost impossible for us to speak intelligently about what bullpen targets they might have.
Fair enough. But one rumor that I've seen, and I would love for it to happen, bring back Tommy Canley. His time with the Yankees was cut short. I would love to take a flyer on him. He was great and would really help this bullpen. So that's all I have to say.
I'd love Tommy Canley. Tommy Canley, if he comes back, he can also be like the... See, I don't want to act like I have like major issues with like the management of this team or anything. I was going to say he could be the manager. Like, I don't know. Tommy Canley should just have like free reign. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel. As we get to the end of the podcast, every time we rate our confidence out of 10 in this team, keeping in mind, you know, your probability weighted thoughts on, you know, what will happen with Aaron Judge and what moves the Yankees will make otherwise. What is your confidence in this team out of 10 here on November 21st, before the winter meetings, you know, after basically only the Rizzo deal?
So I think it's really early. And the fact that the Rizzo deal happened is as good of a sign as I could hope for. So I'm not upset about anything that hasn't happened. I'm not excited. I'm just kind of waiting and watching. Assessing this team as is without Aaron Judge is, you know, pretty decrepit offense in some aspects and still the same pitching that's done really well the last few years. I also realized that Matt Blake is a free agent and I hope he comes back because that would not be good. But anyway, another major free agent that could impact this team somehow is the pitching coach. Wild world that we're living in.
It's true, though.
So I think at this point I'm gonna go with an 8 because there's a lot to be done, and I can't really be like super optimistic about this team because like there's just so much unknown. And you know, we were pretty high on him at the end of the year. I think not what's happened since we recorded, like they didn't win the World Series and you know, some guys left and Rizzo resigned. So knocking them down for that, you know, kind of keeping them steady. So too early to form an opinion, but I will say that like And I think you noted this in the article that's pending. And the realistic offseason, it doesn't take a lot for this team to be the best team in the league. And it's the question of if they're going to get beyond that. So that's what I'll be interested to see this offseason. Is the, you know, Hal Steinbrenner, the comments he's made about we can spend big, and, you know, we told Aaron that we can sign him and other people. Like, is that kind of for show or is it real? Because if it's for show, then like I still, and they've just re-signed Judge, this team is still going to be in pole position in the American League East, in my opinion. But again, they have the chance to push themselves beyond that. And they flirted with greatness a few times last year and they made moves to try to get themselves higher. Those moves did work out. I would just like to see the continued aggression and just, you know, there are guys out there that can really help this team. It'd be foolish for some of them besides Aaron Judge to not be Yankees in a few months. So I think 8 is about fair, you know, to as we approach the beginning of the offseason.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I'm at an 8.5 just because I think it's a really good team and I'm confident that they're going to make the right kind of operational changes. Like I don't think that whether Josh Donaldson is on the team or not, that they're going to play him a ton. And I'm extremely confident that they're bringing back Aaron Judge. Like I will knock on wood, but it would really surprise me for him to end up on another team. And as a result of that, like my probability weighted confidence rating is still really high because I'm not knocking that much off for the potential that he signs somewhere else. Yeah, 8.5. I don't think they need to do much in pitching. I think, you know, if they're aggressive and they get Rodon, that's great. I don't think they need an infielder, although I could see a move made for one. I think they need an outfielder. I think there are a bevy of viable options who would not, you know, break the bank. I feel really good about this team. As I said on our last podcast in the article I wrote, like, they got swept in the ALCS and they, you know, arguably should have been up 3-1 by that time. You know, it's just sometimes stuff doesn't go your way, and that doesn't mean that they weren't, you know, at least as good as the Astros and maybe better. And, you know, as a result, I wouldn't change the formula a ton. I would make changes where it's obvious they need to be made. We know Hicks is going to be gone. We know they have the depth to replace IKF. We know they have the depth to replace Donaldson. Make those changes. Suddenly this team looks really good.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I can't say it any better than that. Like, the moves are there. They can be made. The path is there. You know, this is not a team that needs to make like a bunch of moves just to stay relevant. This is a team that can make the moves to get them over the top. So I'm interested to see how this winter unfolds. One last thing. I mean, it's going to be a normal winter. So like, I think I mentioned this on a previous podcast. So don't discount, like, you know, the spending and the lack of free agent activity last year. I think things were just really weird around the league. So Cashman, you know, for whatever it's worth, will get to implement his grand strategy and he'll have no excuses this time. You know, if the Yankees don't sign a major free agent aside from Judge, there's no lockout, there's no COVID. It's just them.
Yeah, it's going to be way better than last year, which is great just because we're not like sitting around twiddling our thumbs waiting for baseball to be back. All right, with that, any parting shots, Whipple?
Yeah, I've been alerted that Aaron Judge is recorded a video of himself meeting with the Giants or getting ready to meet with the Giants in San Francisco. And so, as we probably will have to say for the next few weeks, he's going to go places. He's going to meet with teams. It means nothing until the contract is signed. He's made it clear he's going to explore the process. And like we've said multiple times in the last hour and 10 minutes, I would be shocked if he was not a Yankee at the end of the day. But it's also Thanksgiving and he probably went home for the holidays. Like, I think the internet collectively needs to go have a good Thanksgiving and not worry about Aaron Judge for a little while. I will certainly be doing that because, as we mentioned an hour and 10 minutes ago, I am in law school and I now have nothing else to distract me from the finals that I'll be going back to study for. So sorry to leave this on a bad note.
Frankie Montes' Carl Pavano The Giants have never given out a contract bigger than $167 million. Aaron Judge will be a Yankee by the new year. We'll be back to do another podcast probably around winter meetings. You know, they won't be, as we said, they won't be weekly, but they will be probably a little more frequent than almost a month separating them, like the last one and this one. And if anything big breaks, you know, you'll hear from us. As we said, there is an article going up on YankeesFiles.com of our offseason entrance survey where we break down our thoughts on a number of different kind of compelling questions about how this offseason might go. You can always keep up with us there. We are at Yankees Files on Twitter, and our podcast is available wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to rate, review, and subscribe. If you don't like the podcast, don't rate and review, though. Just subscribe. That helps us out. So not exactly sure when next time is going to be, but until next time, happy Thanksgiving. Let's go Yankees.